Would you please stand as you're able for the brief order of our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we're in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ has given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you join us? Remain standing and join us in our opening hymn, God is Here, with one voice, page 719.
Thank you.
Welcome to everyone who's come to worship with us this morning. The announcements are as they are in the bulletin. Does anyone else have any announcements? If not, we'll continue with our worship service. Please remain standing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. With you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to the people on earth.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and announced him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful in their calling to be your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The Lord
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And in the temple of the Lord are all crying, Glory. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. Our second lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some of the disciples. He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They replied, No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said, Into what then were you baptized? They answered, Into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to the first chapter of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Very important celebration in the church year. As I was reading some things about him, Can you imagine what it would be like if John the Baptizer were pastor of this congregation today? And I wondered, who would run away first, us or John the Baptist? Because as we read the description of John, it seems that he would have been a very hard man to get along with. He could never come to our home for dinner because he ate only wild locust and honey, and nobody today eats wild locust, is there? And he never drank, so he wouldn't have been any good at the cocktail party. And he was loud, and he was calling out, so he must have been obnoxious. And his dress, camel's hair, and he was always preaching repentance, always. So John doesn't come across as a very attractive man. He doesn't come across as someone who we would call here as a pastor at St. Paul. And yet, the scriptures tell us this morning, he was a man sent by God, and his name was John. So John was sent by God with a specific job to do, and that job was to prepare the way for the Lord. John was sent by God to get people ready for the arrival of his son, Jesus Christ. His purpose was given to him by God, and God expected him to do what he wanted him to do. God put him in the right place at the right time to do that job. Now, you know, our purpose in life is given to us by God just as well. He's put us in the right place at the right time to do that job he expects us to do, and he expects us to obey him as well as he did John. And when we do, he promises to fulfill his purpose for us. And so as John prepared the way for the Lord, he did a lot of preaching about sin. Now, we're told a lot of times today it's too late for fire and brimstone. We don't need to hear that. We only need to hear God's love. Well, John called the people who came out to hear him vipers. And he condemned their insincere religion. Bear fruits that befit repentance, John would shout to the people. Don't just say you're sorry for your sins. Show it. John wasn't trying to humiliate anybody. He was trying to shake them out of themselves, out of believing in themselves and their own good works. He wanted to show them, and he wanted to show us today, just how desperately we need a Savior. And once he had shown the sin, he pointed out the solution by pointing to Jesus, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But from John, they also heard about God's redeeming love. Now, sin is as valid today as it was in John's day. Sin has never stopped being a problem in this world. It remains today as a part of every human life. But the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ still begins with the bad news of sin. There's many who don't preach much about sin anymore. They preach about God's love. And we need to preach about God's love as much as possible. But God's love has no meaning whatsoever if we don't preach about sin. So often, we mistakenly see God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ as too simple and too easy and maybe too impossible. The non-Christian people say it is impossible. Who in the world would ever do something like that? And you know, we think so ourselves. What a great system we have. I sin, God forgives. I sin, God forgives. I sin, God forgives. It's a mistake to make light of sin. Jesus thought it was some pretty serious stuff. And in some miracles, we get the distinct impression that he thought it was our greatest problem. Jesus always forgave sin first. And then he healed the sickness. And as bad as any sickness is, sin is far worse because sin kills. There's something that's not right going on today. Today, instead of calling sin, sin, we've developed a tendency and a way to sugarcoat the problem with our language. Sin has all of a sudden become a cultural revolution. Killing babies before they're born to a lot of people is not a sin, but it's a result of our cultural revolution. Today we suffer from an erosion of respectability for authority. Nobody wants to respect authority anymore. Children don't respect their parents. They don't respect their teachers or anyone else. And adults don't respect their boss. They don't respect their spouse or government officials. And we've certainly seen untold too much of that on television these last months. This is not a cultural problem. It's a spiritual problem. And friends, one of the worst signs of sin in our lives today is that we almost never stop to ask if something is right or if something is wrong. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. We have this cultural need. The only thing we ask is, does it feel good? Oh, is it convenient for me? Is it easy? Paul wrote a kettle on your sins, and he wrote it to describe the Roman society, you know, so many years ago. And he wrote it to show what was happening back then. And we see it hadn't changed a whole lot today. Wickedness, evil, malice, envy, murder, armed robbery, deceit, gossip, slander, hatred of God, haughtiness, faithlessness, heartlessness. Oh my goodness, these aren't cultural dilemmas. They're flat out sin. John preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And repentance is nothing less than owning up to the reality of our sinfulness and turning around away from sin and going back to Jesus. True repentance is a turning away from the careless attitude about sin. Repentance means turning away from believing that sin is not a problem and confessing that it is indeed a big problem. It's our problem, yours and mine. In John's day, the unrepentant who came to see him were the Pharisees. And they said they didn't need to repent. They didn't have any sins. But the repentant were all of those who confessed their sins. It does no good to pretend that sin is not real and to try to cover it up. Adam and Eve tried to hide from their first sin. They hoped God wouldn't see them. They tried to cover up their nakedness. They tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. But the fig leaves didn't work. They didn't do the job. There is no way to deny the reality of sin. But when we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, and in his grace, he forgives us. He covers our nakedness. He covers our sin with the sparkling robe of Jesus Christ righteousness. Grace is not cheap. Grace is never cheap. Our sins are terrible, and they're destructive acts that brings harm into God's world. They bring harm to ourselves, and they surely bring harm to our families and harm to our friends and harm to what it means to be a child of God. John's baptism was for those people who had repented of their sins. You and I didn't see the heavens open up that day we were baptized. We didn't even hear a voice. but our baptism is precious to us just the same. It tells us we're loved. It tells us that we're forgiven. It tells us that we can make a new beginning because God lives in us who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And we know that there is no way that we can hide from God. We don't even try. We confess. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And mercy is exactly what God gives us for the sake of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In his precious name, we thank God for such mercy so freely given to you and to me. Amen. And now we'll sing our hymn of the day. Profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church throughout the world and its leaders, that guided by the Holy Spirit, they proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Hear us, O Lord. For wilderness and water, wind and wild beast, and all living things on earth, that God's goodness is revealed through creation and faithful stewards care for all God has made. Let us, Lord, in your mercy. For the nations of the world and for their leaders, for laborers busy both day and night, and for peacemakers, aim, strife, that God inspire all people to use their strength wisely. Lord, in your mercy. For the sick and for those who provide medical care, for the imprisoned and those who showed them mercy, for the lonely and those who provide companionship, for all who suffer, Lord, in your mercy. For the congregation gathered here, for students returning to school, for those seeking renewed in their daily work, that all the beloved of God's experience grace and peace, Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their labors, that their witness inspire us in our baptismal vocations, Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, hear our prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now we'll receive the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love. And that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread. After he had given thanks, he gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. After he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all peoples for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and help us to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's table is set. Please come. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, Born in Christ. Go in peace, serve the Lord.